Hey, Stellar Woman fans, I'm your host, Mary Rectoris.
And I'm your co-host, Mila Taylor. Stellar Women shines a light on female leaders making their mark in tech.
Today, we are joined by Rachel Bilstein and Heidi Giroux.
Heidi and Rachel are so excited to have you on the podcast today. And for our listeners, Heidi and Rachel were both nominated for our Stellar Women in eDiscovery program. So ladies, welcome.
Hi.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
I also, Rachel, are marketers. And I think as marketers, it's kind of interesting telling people, oh, I do marketing for eDiscovery. They're like, what is eDiscovery? You're like, I didn't know either. So yeah. A creative person and now in eDiscovery, what's something that surprises you about this field? Something you are really excited about that you didn't know when jumping on board?
I really love that it's kind of at an intersection of legal and technology. Because my background is in digital marketing, and I'm more comfortable in that space, and the nature of our industry lets me kind of stay there a bit in my comfort zone. So for me, a lot of the newness has been legal. It hasn't been as intimidating as I made it out to be originally coming into it cold, right? eDiscovery. I mean, I feel sometimes being in marketing for eDiscovery, I'm just itching to get into the software, into the tools more, and to actually do like a lot of the things that are not within my job description and that I don't have time for. But I think it's fascinating, right? I think eDiscovery is really fascinating. And so I love, at least kind of peripherally or from kind of this like high level vantage point, I get to paraphrase and sift through and explain a lot of the work that my colleagues get to do that I kind of wish I was more involved in. But it's really cool. Yeah.
Well, I think it's exciting because this is the first I've heard that Rachel wants to see more about the software and what it is we do. So guess what, Rachel? Just keep reaching out. We're going to be doing some shadowing because I think you're right. It's going to be great. It'll be a good ride. I think the cool thing there is that it'll make her a good marketer, you know, a better marketer to be able to see what it is that we do, see how we use the tools. And then I think the appreciation there would go both ways so that we could kind of see how what we do can affect and help what Rachel does. I think that would be cool. So Rachel, get ready. The meeting invites are coming.
And Rachel, this is recorded, so it is on the record.
It's on the record.
You might be okay. Eating your words.
I would just like that snippet as a quote that just says, I want to learn more about the software. Rachel, we are in it to win it. Get ready.
Heidi, being on the project management side, can you tell us a little bit about what you love about eDiscovery?
I think the thing that I like most about eDiscovery is the problem solving. I think, you know, naturally, like you said, nobody ever wakes up and says, hey, I want to do a 9-to-5. But for me, it's more, you know, there's a common thing where people say, nobody wakes up and says, hey, I want to be in eDiscovery. You know, nobody goes to college and says, can't wait to major in eDiscovery. I think oftentimes it's something you fall into or you know of somebody in it, you know, and that's kind of how you get in. But I think the problem solving is both a characteristic in people's personalities that they like, that they kind of have an appreciation for. And then also you get this sense of satisfaction in it. So whether your problem is, you know, right now I have to review 125,000 documents in 2 weeks, or it's, you know, I need to find this particular item or document, or I think it's really about helping people too. You know, eDiscovery, everybody comes to the table with their own problems that they need to have solved, and just the ability to help people and get through that problem solving, I think, is probably the number one. And that's a characteristic that I've seen quite frequently in the lifers, so to speak, in eDiscovery, is they like to get in there, get their hands dirty, you know, problem solve, and ultimately help people. So I'd say that's probably the pieces I like most about eDiscovery.
Cool. Thank you for sharing that, both of you. That's interesting. I always find it interesting what people have in common is they like the problem solving, they like that it's changing, and they do like the fact that it's helping people. So kind of like along that line of helping people, it's not so much in the day-to-day, but in the bigger, you know, scope of life, we like on this podcast to talk a lot about mentorship. So who has been influential in your career and how have you worked to elevate other women in the field? So Rachel, we'll start with you if you want to talk a bit about mentorship and what that's meant to you during your career.
Ben Sexton has been a mentor of mine. Scott Lombard has been a mentor of mine. Christine Mosley, who's at our Seattle or was at our Seattle office, has been a mentor of mine. It's just kind of, you identify your different subject matter experts and you create a support network. That's kind of what I would say for my experience at J&D so far. It's been everybody's my mentor.
I like that. I think there's oftentimes like so much pressure put on people on both sides. Like, okay, you need to find this like one career mentor who can, mm-hmm. you can bounce all your ideas off and they can help you grow your career. But in reality, it's kind of impossible unless your mom or your sister or someone like that. It's really hard to find someone like that in life. And I kind of like that idea of having a support around you that you tap into for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that resonates with me a lot. And then Heidi, we'll jump to you.
So I think, you know, we've all seen those movies where somebody makes a decision and then the movie takes off going in a different direction, or, you know, the character has a choice to make in a certain point in time. And then they just, you know, however they decide to go down that path ultimately affects, you know, two variations in how they could have lived their life. And looking back, you know, from the time I was 18 and started working for a sole practitioner, only because I had done a teacher's assistant position in high school and met the nurse there and would go to her office and just do my homework during the day. She said, okay, I think you should come work for my husband. And I saw her at the bread aisle at the grocery store in summertime. You know, I think you should come work for my husband. And I said, okay. So she wrote his phone number down on a piece of paper and handed it to me. And she said, here, give him a call Monday morning, 9 a.m. And I said, okay, great. When she walked away, I realized I had no idea who her husband was. I didn't know what he did for a living. I didn't know why she thought I should go work for him, but I just kind of trusted her and just thought, okay, yeah, let's go down this road. Well, when I called that number at 9 a.m. on Monday morning, it said, you know, good morning, Law Office of Gerald Walsh. And in that moment, it was so fast to think, number one, I just called an attorney. Number two, this is who I'm going to be working for. How is this going to work? And the panic set in, right? But within a couple hours, I had a job. And from there, you know, kind of like those different paths. But in working for him, I ended up working for him for 5 years. But he taught me, you know, skills that I take to this very day, you know, attention to detail and how to organize things and file things. I had those things inherently. However, you know, just teaching skills that ultimately I think some 18-year-olds don't know, all the way to, you know, years later working for another attorney. And she said, your next job, I don't want you to seek any job that has assistant or secretary in the title. There's nothing wrong with them. However, your next job cannot have the words secretary or assistant in them. And it was kind of a directive, right? But at the same time, she saw something to say, don't just keep going for what's comfortable. Mm. Push yourself a little, right? And so taking that to heart, I started applying for jobs and I literally would just look over if they had assistant or secretary in the title, just keep going, you know? And I think ultimately, so from that tiny push, that's how I first became a project manager. So I got the title, wasn't even sure what I was supposed to be doing. I knew I had the skills because when I read the job outline, I thought, this is exactly me. I'd never read a piece of paper that basically described me as a person, who I was and what I could do. But I think in that moment, I realized, you know, just like that movie character, there were certain points in time where the road split. And there was somebody who had influenced me in that moment to go down that different path. And so, but I do agree with Rachel that everybody can be your mentor. But I think too, I appreciate the people who took the time, I guess, mm-hmm. to learn who I was, what I could do, and then give of themselves mm-hmm. to make me a better person.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Me too.
I had a similar experience in that I was at Relativity doing customer advocacy type work. my team then was under the creative team, which I was kind of posed with this challenge of or opportunity, rather, like, what do you want to do? Like, this is kind of an opportunity to think through what I'm doing and where I want to go. And the brand director, Daisy's like, I think you'd be really good at being a producer. I don't know. I don't have any background in that. I was like Googling what it really meant. I just thought, right, like, you know, like I'm going to produce an HBO series. It's like, right. I read the job description and it had a lot of project managing to a degree and creation and working with other teams. It really described a lot of what I was already doing and skills I wanted to grow in to a T. And it kind of just took someone to be like, you should really strive for this to be that kick I needed to get there.
And I love it when, you know, when you're talking to somebody, I'm never shy to say, if I kind of feel that connection with somebody, just to say, hey, what do you think I should do with my life? You know, what, you know, if you kind of have those people to say, you know me now, what are some things about myself that I can't see that I might be blind to, or that you think I might be good at? Because oftentimes people have insights about you that you're not aware of yourself, you know, capabilities that they say, well, you know, I know this other person who does this and you're quite like them, or you would be really good at this, you know, just who you are as a person, not nuts and bolts of what you do during the day, but who you are and the things that speak to you. I think that's how you figure out like who you really are.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Cause someone said, what's your 5-year plan? You're like, I don't know. So you're just like fumbling.
That's the worst question.
You're sweating and then you feel like you're signing up for something you didn't even really think through. And you're like, all right, I guess I'm on this track and I have no desire to do this. 5 years. So I love that you said that. Like, someone else who I see your skills here, I know people that have done this successfully, this could be an option versus the onus is always on you because you don't always know what's out there. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a cool point.
There's nobody out there, you know, giving you a path or a map for your life to say this is how you do it. I think you just kind of have to take it step by step. But that 5-year question, I don't think I could have ever answered that up until right now. And I'm 39. But right now, and then the goofy part is, if you ask me what my 5-year plan is, I'd like to have a farm. If you would ask me 2 years ago, I would have never said, hey, uh-huh, I want to have a farm. But you know what? And it's not due to COVID. It's just something that's been growing in my mind, like, mm-hmm, you know, this little fog in the back that just takes over. It's just something that I enjoy, you know, just doing on the side. So, but that 5-year plan, I don't know what happens, but always think about, where do you want to be, whether it's 1 year or 5 years. Mm-hmm. And it sounds cliche, but at the same time, like, what are you going to look for? Because otherwise you're going to turn around in 10 years and you're going to be in the same spot.
Sure.
You know, so is that where you want to be? Maybe that isn't. That's okay too.
Women in particular too, like, it's very, we rely on, or I certainly do rely on those external pushes at certain points. Like, there are push points where like, you're almost conditioned or like to be comfortable or to be grateful, right, for everything, right? Just always grateful, always, yeah, grateful, always grateful. And it's more of the like receptive or passive energy than an aggressive or assertive energy. Always know those points at which there is an opportunity right in front of me. And as soon as someone says, did you notice that opportunity that's got you written all over it? Then it's like, oh yeah, duh, yes.
Like these,
where I'm trying to like kind of train myself, right, to see those and jump at those. And it's a shift, it's a gradual shift. And I do feel like more characteristic of female professionals, right, to need that push. And it's great when we can push one another.
It's like Heidi was saying, you know, women, and we've said this, I've said this till I'm blue in the face, but it's true. But like, you read a job description, Heidi, and if you saw maybe one or two bullets, you're like, oh, I have no experience in that. I can't do this. I need to go back to what I excel in and what I know I can do. Mm-hmm. So sometimes having someone push you and be like, hey, you might not know how to do X, Y, or Z, but you can learn that. You are still very well equipped to take this on. So I think that's it too, that we question our abilities. And if we don't feel more than 100% certain that we can succeed, then we're our own worst enemy in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I once got some good advice. I mean, it was probably from like a therapist, because it was very, very good advice, but it was something like, you should train yourself to think about yourself and talk about yourself and apply for jobs in a way that your best friend looks at you.
100%. I got similar therapist.
Yeah. Honestly, it's why you're paying big bucks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like, it's so easy to give someone you love and care about advice through hard times, but it's so hard to give it to yourself.
Yep. And I do think that's a particularly female thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is also, I think, so on point and like just resonates. I'm sure like it resonates with me. I'm sure it's resonating with a lot of people listening. And I kind of want to just jump back to Rachel. You were mentioning those like push points, and obviously it's no secret that I feel like we are in some sort of inflection point in life, like being in this pandemic, whether some people want it or not, it is pushing them to maybe adapt their businesses or adapt their careers in any which way. And so I'm kind of interested, have you guys felt that within yourselves? Have you been able to grow your career or stay kind of connected with colleagues during this time? I kind of just am interested in how, you know, being in the middle of COVID, or hopefully not the middle, but being in it, how this has kind of impacted you guys and where you see yourself moving forward.
A few things that I've learned about myself over the last few years I think I learned these lessons kind of professionally. So I took a brief stint kind of doing some software development, and in that, in trying to push out those changes, and in seeing that, just understanding that some people like change and some people have a little bit harder time with change. But I learned myself, I like change. Like I don't need stability. I didn't know that. But it's interesting to me, it doesn't mean one way is right and one way is wrong. It's just to kind of know for yourself, how do you feel about change and how do you adapt to that? So A, knowing that, and then B, when I was, I think, you know, when I was 18 going off to college, you know, that phone call in the beginning where they say, okay, here's your phone number for your roommate that you've never met before. You're going to get one chance to call them before you become roommates for an entire year. And when I called her, one of the first questions she asked me was, what's your horoscope? And I said, Capricorn. But she goes, oh, you're a pessimist. And I was like, what? But immediately I thought, am I? Because that's kind of how I took it, was it wasn't so much that she almost accused me of being a pessimist, but it was like, am I really? But it was interesting because that was a moment of change for me to realize I don't want to be predefined by being a pessimist. Right. So now I kind of, like, some people call me sunshine and rainbows, because I'll attempt to find, you know, the silver lining in anything. But that's a choice I made, because when I was 18, I realized, oh my goodness, I might be a pessimist. So then I decided, like, I have to make a mental shift here to try to change. My point being, I try to find the opportunities and things, and then I'm okay with change. I don't know how I became that way, but I like it. And so when COVID happened and quarantine started happening, I'm a planner by nature, I'm a project manager, kind of freaked out. But at the same time, I'm seeing, number one, that I get to see my kids more often, that I've always wanted and that I haven't had working, you know, typically office job. So I see my kids more often, which I love. I have time to do hobbies that I've never had time to do before. It's not because I'm not working, it's because rather than taking the time at the water cooler or the lunchroom, I go outside and walk my dog over lunch. You know, some people can work that in your days, but I couldn't before. The changes that I've been able to impact have mostly been, though, in my personal life, but that's greatly positively impacted my professional life, because I come to work, you know, happy and energized and excited because these great things are happening for me personally.
Two big questions. I think that's awesome. Or more so points. It's not as simple as your horoscope, because it's very contingent on your sun sign.
Out sun and moon signs. I figured out everything.
Right? It's not that simple. And as a fellow Capricorn, we get a really bad rap, but I think we are really great.
Yeah. I'm going to teach Rachel about relativity, and she is going to teach me sun and moon signs. It's going to be fantastic. God.
Download the CoStar astrology app and add me as your friend.
All right, moving on from horoscopes. Forgot the original question, Neil. I'll go back to you.
Sorry. I'm like been trying to work out what my, I still can't get a handle on my sun and moon and rising. And I'm also on the cusp of between Gemini and Taurus. Mm. Gemini's already are meant to be personality. Hey. So I'm like three.
Hey, me too.
Wow.
What's up? I'm Taurus, but I'm like,
I'm May 21.
I'm 17.
Well, yeah. So like some magazines tell me I'm a Gemini and some magazines want to tell me I'm a Taurus and I can't just like get, I can't understand which one I am.
Cool. Well, wrapping us up here, Rachel, why don't we go with you? And this is a very broad question, so feel free to take in any way you want. But what's one piece of advice you would give to listeners, whether about working during this time or like how to just navigate this new world we're in?
I mean, I guess I'll say something that's been top of mind for me lately is I'm doing some things that I normally wouldn't do that are certainly a product of quarantine and, you know, a lot of the unrest in our country right now. I joined an online women's conversation circle that operates kind of like, it's like a group therapy sort of thing, but it's really, I mean, it becomes that just by nature of the participants wanting to help one another, but really it's just kind of like there are conversation topics and it's women from all over the country will join and discuss. And that was one thing that I kind of pursued as I was like, okay, I'm holed up in my house. I need perspective. I need diversity. I need like checkpoints, right? Mm-hmm. And really choosing the circles or influences that you have. I've become really aware of that. And so that was one way in which I was like, okay, I want, these are the kinds of conversations I want to be having. And this is a group that of perspectives that I want to be influenced by. And similarly, I kind of have totally, I've changed all of my social media feeds, just kind of wiped out the passive, like, you know, here's who I follow and what I'm paying attention to because it's been passed on to me or someone suggested it or whatever. And been a little more like, okay, what's my goal when I'm on this platform? What do I want to know more about? What do I want to do here? When do I want to use it? When do I want to engage? And changing what I subscribe to so that when I'm engaging with these different media, I am more intentional about the result, I guess. Like something that hit me over the head, and again, in the beginning of quarantine, when you have all this time, and for me, living alone, single woman, right? So I don't have family, I don't have whatever that I'm engaging with on a daily basis. It's like, you're kind of in your head and in your thoughts, and there are no need to manage and set those controls and boundaries for things. And social media, when there's like, oh my gosh, all these headlines and updates and all this craziness going on in the world, and you just feel like you aren't connected to everybody and you want to be, it's very easy to deep dive and get lost in all of the internet and social media as kind of like a band-aid for connection, which is what I felt to be happening in the beginning of quarantine. And then once kind of like assessing my use points, like when am I engaging with these things and what am I trying to get out of it, and then kind of redesigning my interaction with those things to actually get the result I wanted, that has helped me mentally tremendously.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
I love how you put that, because I totally agree. I still have a Facebook account, and a lot of my friends will say, I hate Facebook. And I say, I love Facebook. And they're like, what? You know? And I say, well, mine feeds me boxer dog pictures and things about chickens. And if things start to get political or negative or something, I just snooze the people and then they just go away for a while. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, but I like, Rachel, how you were just more mindful about how you're using things. Cause I think sometimes they just become a time suck. And so depending, you know, if that's where you're spending your time, just make sure that it's fruitful for you. Mm-hmm. So that's brilliant.
Love that. And Heidi, going to you, what's one piece of advice you would bestow on our listeners here?
just give yourself grace. You know, nobody's going to do this right. Nobody has all the answers to this. Nobody who's alive right now has lived through this before. And if they have, they're probably too old to remember. So give yourself grace. Give that person who is super gnarly for whatever reason. I worked with a wonderful person in eDiscovery many years ago. She'll probably listen to this. And she said, when people cut me off in traffic, I just think, man, they must really have to go to the bathroom. You know, it's just kind of, I'm definitely not a super easygoing person. You know, I can be a little high strung, and sometimes I just have to remember, like, give myself grace. I'm just doing the best that I can, right? That's all we're really doing. And it's okay. Whatever it is that you're doing, you do you. Because at the end of the day, my dad always said, at the end of the day, there's only one person you have to live with, and it's you.
I think that's, you know, applicable for everything. And I think it's, as we were kind of talking about, women are really hard on themselves. And often I think human nature, you just look for validation a lot and your friends, yes, or whether it's social media or, you know, whatever, but the only person who really has to, you should be happy with at the end of the day is yourself. So whatever it is that makes you happy, like, just do it, as long as you're not, you know, harming other people. But I think that's, it took me also a long time to really learn that and stop kind of thinking about what I was doing and its impact on how others would perceive it, and really just being confident in the decisions I made. So I really, really, that's a really cool piece of advice.
Yeah, you only have to live with yourself. And another thing that I heard recently was, you only have to decide for now. So just end your sentences with "for now." This is what I'm going to decide to do for now. It doesn't mean you're going to make it, okay, hopefully you're not making any decisions that permanently, like, scar you, but whatever you're doing, it's okay. And just end it with "for now," because you'll make the right decisions for whatever it is you're trying to do for now. And I think that takes a lot of the pressure off, right? To say, you know, what am I doing? Am I doing this right? Am I going to make the right decision? Who cares? This is what you're doing for now.
I love that. And that like resonates with me so hard, because of my family, I'm from Australia, my family's in Australia, and people are always asking me, like, how long are you going to be in Chicago, or where are you going to be? And I'm like, well, right, I'm in Chicago for now. Like, I enjoy being here for now. I don't know. Like, I don't want me to, you know, lock myself into a life sentence and say I'm going to be in Chicago for the rest of my life. I have no idea. But for right now, it makes sense. So I love that.
Right.
I'm just going to be adding "for now" onto everything.
Yeah, and there's
going to
be,
I'm in a good mood for now.
Exactly. Right, because, I mean, let's be honest. This, like, what we're in right now, nobody could have seen this coming, you know? And so it's very evident. It's very true that there are things that are out of our control. They're outside of our realm of influence. And so you can't say with any amount of certainty. I worked with a lieutenant colonel back at the Pentagon, and he said, there's no guarantee that you would know what's going to happen to you tomorrow. So just do what you can today. Yes, plan ahead. That's wonderful. But don't get disappointed if it doesn't work out. Just keep doing what you're doing for now.
Heidi and Rachel, this was so, so fun to connect with you. Thanks for joining Mila and me on the podcast.
Thank you guys.
Thank
so
you
much
for having us.
For Stellar Woman, I'm Mary Rectoris.
And I'm Mila Taylor, signing off.
Signing off. Thank you.